FIFA fans around the world, welcome back to episode number 21. We are recording this on Sunday, August 15th. I'm your host, Tyler.
And I'm your host, Andrew. Welcome to your weekly foot fix. Tyler, to get things started, what are you drinking?
So today I have a Yakats Brewing Key Lime Lemon Vit, which is a Belgian white beer. It's from somewhere I've never heard of, but Yakats, Oregon. And it's great. Andrew, how about yourself?
I'm drinking a Kentucky Mule. I'll show it to you as I pull it off screen. It has Maker's Mark bourbon in it and Pratt Standard Cocktail Company's True Ginger Syrup is what I am using right now. My wife actually bought it for me and we opened it this weekend as an early birthday present. My birthday is in a few weeks, but she was just like, you should open these now. She also got me True Tonic. And she's like, well, it's gin and tonic season. You should start drinking these. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck gin and tonic season is. I drink those year round, but happy to take care of that early and we'll order it more. It's pretty cool. So Pratt Standard True Ginger Syrup is the special edition here. And it's really fancy and really good.
Well, that's amazing. Your wife sounds like an amazing person also. So happy for you.
We're an alcoholic. We're an alcoholic either, you know, a little sure. Both.
All right. Well, cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Andrew, so have you been playing any FIFA? Is there anything related to FIFA 21 that you want to talk about, given we are about a month out from the launch of FIFA 22?
I have not played FIFA 21 in at least a month. I am very happy about that decision. As you well know, and the listeners will know, I hate this game. I think it's the worst iteration I've probably ever played. So I have been happy to leave it in the dust. It's just not been an enjoyable version for me. But the people who are playing are killing it out there. Who is our friend that just went 26-4 this weekend while I look it up real quick?
Kevin, that's right. LFC Kevin, I forget his actual Twitter handle.
Kevin's Twitter handle is KevinK93LFC. He's a cool follow. Good guy. Really, really good guy.
Yeah, super positive.
And went 26-4 this weekend, which is why I want to shout it out, because that is fucking unbelievable. Man, congratulations to you. I think he scored 101 goals, which I don't know if I had scored that in two weekend leagues combined. So like, good grief, like that's amazing. And he played all 30 games, which if I'm going 26-4, I would too. Man, good job. I can't believe you're grinding in August, but if you're this good at the game, like that makes sense too. So shout out to you. Shout out to everyone kind of still grinding weekend league and stuff. If you're having fun, I do think this is kind of an interesting time of the year to play if you'd been playing casually, you know, before this, because you have the best cards. You have any card you want at any, you know, kind of any level. It's now not, oh, who is the best card? It's like, who do you play best with? Because everyone can get, I don't know, basically any card is relatively attainable right now. I'm sure you can build a unbelievable God squad for under 500K.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been adding cards left and right to my squad. I added the Moments Eusebio. I got Team of the Season CR7 from a pick. The Gelson Martins footies card, Curtis Jones footies card. And it's been really fun to just like, for the sake of squad building, like just to see what kind of crazy thing I can compile and put together. But I've maybe played like 8 games with these cards. So that part has been less fun. It's more just at this point, I think just at this level after playing all year long and everyone has all these insane squads, really only the most diehard folks are left. And what that really means is it's people that know what works. And so the experience has been very much a ton of glitchy mechanics. And I have just found the gameplay over the last month or so to be less fun as I just continue to get beaten over and over again from people just doing things where it feels like they just glitch right through my defender, even though I've like tracked them perfectly. And that has obviously happened like off and on all year, but I feel like you usually get like the next game, like you'll play someone that like just isn't to your level and you're able to kind of like manhandle the situation. It's literally just like every game over and over where it's the same type of experience. And I no longer have found it fun. So I have pretty much stopped playing FIFA 21. but have really enjoyed kind of the content side of things, of like building out like a crazy squad just to see what was possible. And so had some fun in that regard.
Absolutely. I think the content all year long has been unbelievable, and they really cranked it up to another level for footies and, you know, I guess starting at PTG and footies, really been impressive. Somewhat wish they would do it earlier in the year. Obviously, we know that why they don't, because they're trying to juice pack sales and encourage that. And if you have tons of content and tons of things that are cheap, then that does not encourage pack sales. Although, quite honestly, the way to fix that is to, instead of selling packs, just sell coins themselves. That also would completely get rid of coin sellers, by the way, if FIFA just started selling coins, like MLB does that, right? And it's amazing. I don't think there's an MLB coin selling market. And if you want to go buy Vladimir Guerrero, you can just do it. And you know exactly how much it costs. And I think that would, you know, fix everything, because then it would encourage EA to make more content, and it would make everything kind of tradable too, because then you would, then the cool things that come out that are tradable, you know, EA could just like, you everyone would be encouraged to pay coins to go get them if you wanted to, or, you know, pay real life coins. So that could be cool. I wish basically the way, that's a bit rambling to just say, I wish content would be stronger early on, so that, you know, you don't have to wait until end of August to have just unbelievably elite teams.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been, I would say, probably the most fun July, August that I can ever recall from a FIFA iteration. I feel like they usually give up and just like shut everything down
July. Have you forgotten 12 months ago? Because that's 12 months ago, we had, that's when Summer Heat was out and Mendy was out and Bruno Fernandes was out. And I think that was, to me, that felt more fun than this. Not yeah, that this that all, is an amazing content, but that felt more fun.
That all did wrap up within the month of July for sure. None of that extended into August. I know that for a fact, because I stopped playing the game in July of last year, and never, I like deleted FIFA, I deleted Twitter, like my actual handle, like everything went just in the trash because I was so over and done with it. So I actually couldn't tell you what came out in August of FIFA 2020 because I just never paid attention. I will just say that what they are doing this year, I think is kind of impressive. Like, I know there are people that maybe didn't play all year, haven't been as much of grinders, or just actually enjoy playing the game and want to have the full cycle. And I think it's awesome that EA are continuing to put things out there that give them something to go for. There's been great objective cards that give you high rated fodder or maybe a great link into your squad. And I would applaud EA for being able to make that commitment to like basically sustain a full 12 month cycle. Personally, I totally agree with you. It would definitely be more fun if, I think really like if you close the gap between team of the year and team of the season, like it just feels like such a long stretch where we're just waiting for like more of the best cards. And to me, that's like where things really need to kind of escalate, is across February and March. I really want to see a faster progression that really fills in the gaps. And then team of the season is just kind of like, okay, that actually is allowed to be like the elite promo and the best cards that we get. And then you just, from there on out, just have fun content to be squad filler for the rest of the year.
You know, I would like it a lot earlier than that. I think the first several months of the year, you just, I don't know, kind of can be boring. Like, think about Foot Freeze, which was kind of interesting cards, but if you look back on it, how good are those cards really? Team of the Year obviously is the big promo, but no one can really afford those. Now that they've gotten rid of Foot Miss, essentially, for Foot Freeze, like the kind of early on fun promos don't really seem to be there, except for the live cards, of course, the PTG cards, OTW, and the Champions League cards. So I don't know. I mean, earlier content's always more fun for everyone. And, you know, the earlier you can get cards and you can constantly be cycling in and out, I think that's always fun. That's just me. You are obviously right, by the way. Of course, Summer Heat did end in the middle of July last year, so did not extend this long. I imagine FIFA probably all packed up shop and went home in August like everyone else did. So you brought up something I did want to talk about. I think you're about to lob me a softball here to set me up for this. So I want to talk about kind of burnout in video games. Because I've been playing, everyone knows, I've been playing MLB The Show mostly, been playing at a relatively highly competitive level. Early this year, almost 12 months ago, I was playing NHL 21 for a while, playing that at a relatively, I was bad at it, and I kind of grinded my way to be good. And then obviously I play FIFA at a relatively high level. And I feel like I keep noticing something where I had NHL and MLB, when I was really bad at the game, I had a lot more fun, like a lot more fun. I wasn't playing online as much. So I wasn't like getting killed like early on. I was just mostly playing offline modes or playing the online modes that both NHL and MLB have, which are somewhat, it's kind of like friendlies. So there's kind of no harm, no foul, like, oh, you lose, who cares? It's not something that shows up on your permanent record or really makes you feel, I don't know, disappointed or something the way Rivals does. It's just, oh, you lost this game, move on to the next one. Because really all you're trying to do is accumulate wins or points or whatever it is. But as I've gotten better at each of those games, and FIFA included, I find the games themselves to be more frustrating. I think part of it is I'm seeing the flaws, right? Like you see FIFA, you all know that the delay drives me nuts, and it's because I know what should happen when there is no delay, right? I press pass, I know when the fuck it's supposed to pass the ball, or I pass shoot. Like I know the mechanics. I know how to do a heel to heel. I can do it in my sleep, right? I can do a Berba spin in my sleep, but the game doesn't always register that. And that frustrates me. MLB is somewhat the same way, where there's, I generally think that it is genuinely, which is why I'm stumbling over these words as we drink at almost 1 a.m. East Coast time. Generally, I think MLB is a better game than FIFA gameplay wise. That is actually not a popular sentiment on the Twitters and stuff. Man, the YouTubers and stuff who play MLB have no idea how good they have it. But I know some glitchy shit. When I started noticing the same things, like when I swing on a fastball inside against a pitcher I faced 500 times, because everyone uses Jacob deGrom, and if you're playing Battle Royale, everyone uses Aroldis Chapman or something. I feel like generally I know when to swing. I know when I fuck up versus when it feels like, why did that happen? And that gets frustrating to me. And it starts getting glitchy. And obviously I'm also playing better players. So that, as you mentioned in your FIFA right now, you're playing only people who take advantage of all these glitches. So I'm just kind of wanted to talk to you about it, talk to our audience about this kind of thing I've been thinking about a lot lately, is like a lot of things, but like kind of, are we too good at the game, or do we take these games so seriously that it causes it to be less fun than it would be otherwise?
Yeah. And I think that's actually a part of it. I think we play the game so much that we get to the point where we and others start to recognize where the breakdowns in the game are. And I think, unfortunately, it's just really hard to code a video game to work properly without glitchy mechanics. And this has been in every iteration of FIFA that we've played. It's been in every iteration of Madden that I've played. Back when I was in college, I played a ton of this game called Ghost Recon, which was kind of like a precursor to Call of Duty, but it's basically a war shooting game. And I remember after being obsessed with it for like 6 months, I finally got to the stage where like somehow people figured out like you could peek around corners if you were laying down in a prone position and not get shot. And so they basically got this advantage because of like they could lean around a corner to see you. But even though you could see them, like your bullets wouldn't hit them. And it was just like this glitchy mechanic. And instantly the game stopped being fun because everyone starts doing this like prone position, crouching, leaning around corners. And it's like, that's the whole game now. It's like, well, this just sucks. Like, this is no longer fun. And that's ultimately what turned me off from that. And that happens in every game. And I think because we're this annual cycle of like, we keep relaunching this game, it feels like something kind of different every single year, but there always is something that ends up breaking down because we have so many patches throughout the year. We have so many better players that like EA can't test every iteration of like how good all these cards are with all the different changes that they're making on all these patches. And something ends up just breaking. So that just ends up becoming like what people go to, and it ends up ruining at least my experience to where I stop having fun with it over the full 12-month cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a couple of thoughts. I even wrote them down in our little show notes. You said EA has all these patches. They don't. That's actually my biggest problem. Because if I felt like if there was a monthly EA patch that we knew was coming every month, you know, maybe they want to like hot patch some other things that are broken, you know, breaking the game, you can't log in or something. But if we knew on the first business day of every month, EA was going to patch this game with whatever shit was broken, and we're going to constantly be getting updates for, hey, we've noticed that threaded through balls are too effective, so we have turned that down by 5%, or things like that. And we're just going to try it out. And if it doesn't work and we think like that is screwed up the rest of our game, we'll fix it next month. If they were constantly doing that and kind of tweaking the game to constantly improve it, to me, that would be, I don't know, just a step in the right direction. It might not make the game more fun. It might make it different every month. But to me, that would be a nice thing. And that might never come until we get a subscription model, when they'll somewhat be forced to be doing that to keep people happy, to keep them around. And then you also said EA can't test all the players. Bullshit. That it's a $1 trillion company, right? It's not $1 trillion company, but it's a multi-billion-dollar revenue stream for Electronic Arts. They can test all the players. They choose not to, but they absolutely could hire enough people to test all the players.
I agree with you. Where I was coming from with that statement was test all the players with the iterations of the patches. And I think they keep making all the changes in the patches so frequently that they don't think to go and test what all of the player styles would be like. And
yeah, that's probably fair.
Somehow that combination, as it keeps like snowballing on top of each other, is like ultimately what leads to a ton of breakdowns in mechanics. And I don't really have like a great solution for it. I do think subscription allows for a better solution where, like what we were just talking about, like we actually touched on it last episode a little bit, of how next year in FIFA 22, they're going to change the way through ball mechanics work in competitive gameplay. They literally could just release that as like a required thing in FIFA 21 and just say, hey, it has to be semi-assisted passing or less now in your FIFA 21 settings. And like, that's just the way it would be. And it would instantly change the way all of our experience for FIFA 21 is, because everyone is using assisted through ball mechanics. And so I really wish they were more proactive with releasing things like that, that were clear problems with the game. I hope they'll get to that model. I don't really see anything really changing from their structure for FIFA 22, but hopefully sometime in the near future, we get there.
Yeah, exactly. So stay tuned for that. If you guys have thoughts on this, you know, I really do want to know your thoughts. Some of our listeners I know play multiple games. Some of you are playing MLB. Some of you play NHL. Some of you play Call of Duty. Probably a bunch of games I don't know because I feel too old. But, you know, let us know how other games are, how you feel about them. Because this is truly something I just wanted to talk about with folks, because it's very weird to me that I feel this burnout on games I do love and want to play more. So, Tyler, the thing we kind of teased last time we talked, we took a week off, but the thing we talked about 2 weeks ago, FIFA 22 is coming out relatively soon. How excited are you? Let's say scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you right now?
I think I'm actually at kind of like an 8. And there's part of me that thinks that might be a little too high, but I think that's mostly driven by the fact that I'm just done with FIFA 21. I really love the newness of playing the fresh game. you were just talking about how you think the progression of promos and basically how cards improve over the cycle of the game is a little too slow. But I do think the first like month or so, really from launch through like the Halloween Scream promo, is the most fun part of the FIFA cycle. And regardless of whether FIFA 22 ends up being a ton of broken mechanics that sucks, like during that first little month or two, we're actually like just figuring it out. Like it doesn't seem like you see the same thing over and over. So there's just so much variety. There's so much freshness to it that that's what I really love and appreciate. And the other factor is that it's also so easy to make improvements to your squad. Like you literally can earn 5, 10, 15,000 coins and like add a better player to your squad to get this kind of continuous upgrade loop, particularly kind of through like that Halloween season. And that also to me, I think is like super rewarding and super fun. And it's really when you get to kind of like the January timeframe where you're like, oh, all of a sudden I need 3 million to like upgrade my squad. And it's like, you can't make that through gameplay or just very casual trading. Like you have to make like a real commitment to like figuring out how to do that, and which means time. And I'm just not interested in putting the level of time that goes into making an extra 3 million coins. I just don't find that part fun. And anyway, for me, the first month or two, I think is awesome. And so right now, because we're like right in the cusp of entering that excitement, I feel pretty high on that scale. Super cautious about the fact that like, oh, like come, I don't know, kind of Christmas time, New Year's, like we will start to know what the meta is and it'll start to feel like a broken game. And like, there'll be all these videos on how to do the glitchy mechanic. Like that's what happens every single year. And so I don't want to look too far ahead. So for now, the immediate time horizon, I'll just try to enjoy it. I'll be excited. So I'll call an 8 for my excitement. How about you?
I think I'm probably a 6. I am excited about the newness of the game. I love the squad building aspect you talked about. I think trying out new players every day, constantly being on Footbin or the web app, trying to figure out the right squad to have and kind of how to fit everyone in with the coin balance I have. That is incredibly fun. And the most fun part of the year is the beginning of the year for that, because you're basically generally all liquid because there's no SBCs to even do at that point. We're all going to have a OTW and a Heroes card that hopefully will be good that we'll all have in our squad. But other than that, you know, it's all going to be kind of brand new. But my hesitancy is the gameplay, right? Unless they've truly overhauled the gameplay, is this once again lipstick on a pig? And that's my fear. I know, but I am I feel like 6 out of 10 is still positive. And partly I think about you telling me about FIFA 21. You're like, this is actually a great game. I don't think you thought that. I don't think you think that now. You can tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think you think that now, but you know, 10 months ago you did think that because the game wasn't broken yet. They obviously hadn't patched it yet too, which the other nice thing is every year it does seem they release a game that maybe is more fun than the game that they end up with after they patch whatever was like the most broken thing, but still a fun gimmicky thing. This year was what it was. The stepovers were pretty glitchy. I can't remember if they patched anything else major, but stepovers were glitchy. But I personally didn't care about those being glitchy. I wasn't playing competitively at that point, really competitively at all. But to me, that's like a silly thing to care about being glitchy as opposed to, you know, threaded through walls being unstoppable. So I'm a 6. I do struggle also with kind of the shitty gold players. That to me is one thing I feel like I am not as good at the game using substandard cards as other people are at that, as opposed to if you gave me all 99s that I like have chosen as like, these are my cards and they're broken. I feel like I am better against the average player than I am using an 81 overall squad.
Yeah, that's fair. And I've been playing, so I got the full FIFA 22 beta. And so I have been delving into that a little bit, and obviously we're not like meant to talk about the beta, and I haven't played enough to really talk about it to anything insightful that I think will get anyone in trouble. But what I will say is I've been playing with a bunch of gold French players, and I even like went into Rivals and actually had a pretty competitive game and, you know, won my first game 2-1. But there's just something like, it's fresh. It looks different. It's like, I have literally no idea like what the mechanics are and like the touches the players are taking. It's like, you know, we're just not used to what a new game might look like. And so I find all of that fun. And even though I make like thousands of mistakes within the game and it's like, oh, that player is not doing what I want, it at least feels like it's because I don't actually know what's happening in this new FIFA 22 beta version that I'm playing. And it's less like, oh, like this game's broken. It's not doing what I'm saying. And so that part, I just enjoy doing something different. And so I don't think I even am going to mind playing with gold players, because in the limited experience I've had on the beta, it's not bothered me at all. I just appreciate that I'm doing something different.
That's fair. I also have the beta. I get it. I mean, I think both of us get it every year now. I haven't played it at all. I just realized I should try again, because the first two times I downloaded it, the game just wouldn't let me in. It appears it might be letting me in now. It's like not loading the catalogs or something. I don't understand EA, what's going on. So that's been fun. So I have no idea, but I agree with you. Generally, the beta is a completely different game. It's also a completely different game than what gets released every year. So it's just this like novel game that you can play for a couple of weeks. It's just kind of random and fun. And we can probably talk about last year's beta, which was super fast. I remember that like standing out to me, that the FIFA 21 beta flew, like everyone seemed like they were flying around the pitch. Everything was like ping, ping, ping passes. And I remember being like, oh, this might be very fun. But then I think I played it a little longer. I was like, oh, but there's massive delay here and all that stuff. And I'm burnt out with the game and I give up. But yeah, so I'm with you. The, you know, the beta is interesting. I will give it a go too. We obviously can't really talk about it, which sucks, but you know, hopefully one day they'll ease up on some of those confidentiality things or open it up to everybody who wants to play.
Yeah, they certainly should. The other thing that's exciting, I think, as we head to FIFA 22, is there's been like a ton of movement in the real world of football. We've had a super active summer transfer window. We both clearly love squad building. I feel like what's going to be really fun as we head into the next game of FIFA is like all the things that like might be in our head of like what the great strong links are and like the way to fit a player. There's like actually a lot to learn now because we've had so many big transfers. When you look at like kind of the major transfers that have happened for the summer window, Andrew, are there any things that have excited you? Anything standed out? Like, what are the things that you want to talk about of player movement?
Well, obviously, PSG is now, if you just built a PSG squad, it will be unbelievable. If you play in online seasons or career mode or something, PSG is just going to be unstoppable. Yeah,
selecting PSG in kickoff is like banned. Like, there's no way. You're not allowed.
It's just too good. You know, Manchester United now has some interesting players that everyone will love with Varane and Sancho. That's pretty cool. I love my big Belgian coming back to England, Romelu Lukaku. One of my favorite players in FIFA 18 when he was with Manchester United, I used his gold card. It was obviously a different type of game where you were using gold cards until like February. But I used it until February and it was an awesome card. And I think he was like 150K until February. So he was fun. There's been a bunch of minor transfers too that I think are going to be really impactful for lower level squad building. Guys coming into different leagues. So one I pointed out to you probably started this was Jesus Corona is now in La Liga. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. I had forgotten about that. That is really exciting. I know he's been five-star in some iterations of FIFA. I think they usually give him a five-star weak foot. They don't always give him five-star skills. So that'll be interesting to see what they do. But in La Liga, that makes him like extremely interesting.
I should back up. Sevilla has not actually officially announced it yet, but it is all over the newspapers that it's happening. So
okay, that will
the
be
fee
huge.
Is the fee supposedly has been agreed to at 12 million. So
it's gonna be great. You get a strong link to Jesus Navas on the as your right back. Feels like an interesting, relatively cheap La Liga starter team.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's some other folks out there who are very interesting. Donnie Malen, the Dutch striker, went to Dortmund. That's, I think, exciting. He's pace merchant. He'll be super fun to play with. Daka is now in the Premier League. He was a guy I think a lot of folks used. You know, there's a ton of them that I'm just, like you mentioned, there's so many moves. It's going to be interesting to kind of figure out all the leagues and stuff. You know, I think, I bet you're this way too. When you see the pack openings now and you get the board or walkout, you know every single player. Like, when, by the time you get all three, right? Position, team, and nation, you know who it is coming out almost always, unless there's obviously overlap. But it's going to be a lot of new folks.
Yeah, next year we're going to be super confused to be like, I don't understand who this center forward Dutch Barcelona player is going to be. And then it's like, holy shit, Memphis Depay. I forgot about that. Like, that's crazy. So that'll be super fun. So I'm excited. I think all the movement is going to make FIFA at the start more fun. I think the one to watch promo, I've actually complained about it on this podcast relatively recently. I think this gives one to watch potential to be exciting, at least for this one particular transfer window. And EA have also said they're going to introduce a upgrade kind of similar to the headliners thing, to where if a team wins, like, what is it, like 4 out of 5, or I forget the exact numbers, but something like they win 4 out of 5 within a 10 game from 10 games from the launch of the event, then they'll get a +1 even automatically from that point in time. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an informed performance. It can be a team-based performance too. That's sorely needed, because One to Watch has been super, super, super dead. And I think at least for summer transfer window for FIFA 22, we'll at least have a good event. I don't know if we'll ever have a good One to Watch event ever again, but I'm happy for this one.
You know, what I wish they would do is just make it all performance-based, but don't make it tied to stupid team of the week. Just tell me every 2 goals someone scores that they get an upgrade or something like that. I don't know, like something fun like that. A couple more starter squad. I was just looking up on Transfer Market, the kind of biggest transfers of the year. A couple more starter squad players that are now in the Premier League. Buendia came over from Norwich. I think from Norwich. He was a very fun championship card from last year. Now he's at Aston Villa. And also at Aston Villa, Leon Bailey, who is just going to be crazy fun. The Jamaican left winger, fast as hell, 23 years old. I'm actually super excited about using him just in general.
If they give him a flashback and they give him 85 plus heading again, like, that is going to be my dream card. I won't be able to complete it any faster. Like,
well, I wouldn't be shocked if they give him an OTW or something. You know, he'd be a popular card
for sure
to go out and get.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, I think we're very excited about that. Really hope I think the concept of OTW is awesome. The fact that you're highlighting big transfers and guys on new teams and stuff. And then just the way it's like executed seems outdated given the model of how quick things are upgraded. I mean, one answer would of course be to allow you to upgrade your own cards by like milestones and stuff. MLB calls it paralleling, but if you could like get +5 on each player that you have on every stat just by grinding the shit out of the game and playing well with them, that would be super fun and would be something we would all do and would make each of these cards very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we've gone a little long. We were expecting to have a short episode today. Anything else you wanted to talk about, Tyler?
No, I feel like this has been a good little recap of kind of where we're at. We're excited for FIFA 22, kind of closed down on FIFA 21. I think, you know, this cadence of podcasting from us is probably what to expect for until we get to the launch of 22. But we do appreciate you guys listening. please reach out over Twitter, interact. We love that. Andrew, where can folks find you on the Twitters?
They can find me at foot_AST. And actually, for our next podcast, one thing I think we're really obviously going to be ramping up to FIFA 22. One thing that I don't talk about a lot on this podcast, but we obviously want to talk about as we head into a new game cycle, is trading and kind of how to build your Coinbase in general. So if you have any, you know, specific questions you want us to answer about that, I think next episode is the one I want to focus a lot on, that as we're going to have this gap of things to talk about, and maybe we'll try to bring on a special guest or two to also talk about that. But any questions you have, I think would be greatly appreciated, and we would love to answer them. Okay, Tyler, great. Where can folks find you?
Yeah, so find me on Twitter. I'm at Pace of a Tortoise, or you can find our podcast at foot_FIX. And with that, this has been your weekly hit of the Foot Fix.